In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray unceasingly unto God for us, our heavenly matrons and patrons. Strengthen us in our faith. Establish us in virtue. Guard us in conflict, that we may vanquish the evil one and attain to glory everlasting. Amen. What's in a name? As a proud parent of a relatively recently born daughter, Isabella Marie, I can assure you, her name was not something obvious. Even though it now seems as though it was the one she has been assigned since the foundations of the universe. No, there were alternatives, analysis, assertions, arguments, all before the agreement, adoption, and acceptance. What would other members of the family think if we choose this one? How many of her classmates will go by the same name, etc.? If you're a parent, you've been there, I imagine. And even if you're thinking of being a parent, you probably have some candidates in mind. We even have candidates for our next child, whether God blesses us with such or not. It seems sort of silly, right, to spend all this time on the issue of names. And yet there's a kernel of truth in that episode of Friends where Rachel is having a baby and Monica reveals that she's had the names of her yet-to-be-conceived children picked out since she was 14 years old. You've seen it, right? Or am I dating myself? Okay, your homework is the pull-up season 8, episode 24 on Netflix. Anyway, she's reluctant to share the girl's name, Emma, until Rachel assures her that she's definitely not going to want it. Unsurprisingly, Rachel falls immediately in love with the name, and ultimately, even Monica concedes that the newborn is clearly an Emma. Perhaps you feel that way about your name, that somehow it characterizes you. I do. In fact, I reject Juliet's famed saying, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." No, I can't accept that as a Christian. Names matter. Just look in the Bible. From beginning to end, you'll see how names matter. In Genesis, one of Adam's primary jobs is to name everything. Abram, noble father, becomes Abraham, a father of many nations. Places take on the new name, signifying their role in the history of salvation. In Revelation, we hear the Spirit say to the churches that to those who conquer, a new name will be written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Even Jesus, which as you know is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. That's hardly a coincidence. God cares about names. And names remain important in the church. In the Orthodox Church, as perhaps you learned at the last second last week, sorry, none of us were expecting to be asked when we were made catechumens what name we were choosing, we take on Christian names when we are accepted into the church. The name we take will become our patron or matron saint, someone we identify with, who not by their own power, but who in their own fallen human nature chose to bind themselves intimately to Christ and die with him. We will ask their prayers and intercessions to God. And why not? For we believe they are alive and well in Christ, and we are in dire need of their help. So choose with some thought and care whether you already bear the name of one of our forerunners or not. If you have questions about why or what to choose, I'm happy to discuss it with you, or I'm sure Father Stephen, not Father Stephen, but Stephen, Matt, Father Michael, or Father Ken would be happy to talk to you. Likewise, it's good to know that monastics take a new Christian name when they enter that phase of their life, giving up the old one that they used to have, recognizing that dramatic change and commitment that they are making. I'd also note that it's considered bad form to give animals Christian names. Lucky for us, we chose Peanut and Smokey. So whatever name you choose, it signifies the start of a new life, a transformation. Yet it doesn't mean you're suddenly converted into pure holiness. You will still be just a baby. You'll need milk for a while, and you will need to learn a lot of obedience, not something that is treasured in our American society. But I can assure you, as a parent, I'm already longing for that with a 9.5-month-old. Your old self has died. Your new self lives. Are you ready for that? We as catechumens are already on that path. At the end of Return of the Jedi, when Darth Vader and his son Luke are having their showdown, Luke appeals to his father's remaining goodness, begging him to turn from the dark side, and calls him Skywalker, to which Darth Vader violently reacts, saying, "That name means nothing to me anymore." So even if you take your old name as your new name, your old name means nothing anymore, because that person is dead. You are now called to live in your new name and keep your eyes on the road ahead. If you're already part of the church, remember your Christian name and renew your commitment to follow our Lord with the same commitment which that holy saint did. Use them as a guide to your salvation. In the context of our discussion on names, we turn to our gospel today. Jesus has just finished telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit and is now talking to them in part about his ascension to the Father, which we will celebrate with a Vespers service this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I hope you can join us for this important feast in the life of the church that has been traditionally considered one of the holy days of obligation in the Western church. And here Jesus says in our gospel that what must be one of the most misinterpreted passages of Scripture: "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." In fact, these long-standing misinterpretations of this passage of Scripture have contributed to a dangerous heresy which we face today in the church, which is prosperity theology, or the prosperity gospel, or as it's more popularly and pejoratively known, name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it. The message behind this is hardly new, that God guarantees truly faithful believers physical health and financial wealth. In fact, followers of Reformed theology have long believed that your success is reflective of whether or not you're among the elect. And the Jews believed at the time of Christ that if you were handicapped, for example, the man born blind, that it was because you or your parents had sinned. Jesus confronts this head-on in the gospel, saying it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And just so you don't take even this out of context, we do believe that our sins can have consequences that pass through the generations. That should be obvious to any of us, as our children, despite the importance of genes, learn so much of their behavior from us. We must reject the thinking, though, that God guarantees us wealth and prosperity in life. We must reject that belief that just because we ask in the name of Jesus, amen, that we will receive anything we ask. In fact, when we pray for miracles, especially publicly, we need to be cautious in those prayers to acknowledge the rarity of miracles. Not because we lack the faith to bring them forth, but because God knows that suffering is the path of salvation. After all, he himself was willing to take that path in order to save us all. He calls us to that same suffering. In the name of Jesus is not a magical incantation. As the late Father Hopko was prone to say, we do not believe in the magician, the mechanic, and the fairy godmother. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, we now know that names are everything. And when we ask something in that precious name, we must be doing so recognizing that we should only do so with great caution and great care. If we do not receive what we ask, is it because our mind, body, and spirit are not aligned with God? Most often, yes. Other times we will not receive what we want because our Heavenly Father truly loves us beyond all measure and knows what we really need for our own salvation. And too often, that's more suffering. We get a plate of vegetables when what we asked for was another cookie. And we should praise God for it. His love is immeasurable, and by that love, may we all come to salvation. This I ask in all due reverence, in Jesus' name. Amen.